43-year-old that I just have to survive today. And I can maybe understand where the teachers are coming from. They're not perfect human beings. We're all like trying to survive every day. None of us are perfect, and we mess up things even though we're adults, and we have to always try to better ourselves. And how do we do that? Come to our OMI, be exposed to this really like energetic things that coming from you,
your youth voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I think you would be
intergenerational
inspired.
Conversation. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I think you would be inspired, and you would feel.
You're listening to WGXC. Acra, Hudson, Catskill, 90.7 FM.
Saturday, July 16th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC and start your morning off with some radio theater. We've got the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara saga at 9 a.m. on the WGXC morning show. And then turn on the news at 10 a.m. to tell me more about the January 6th congressional hearing. 10:30 a.m., Joshua Freed performs live on the radio from Brooklyn, beamed in and mixing New York City radio waves onto Hudson Valley frequencies. At 11 a.m., get set for an hour of dizziness. And then at noon, we've got brand new music from Chris Forsythe, Black Midi, and More Mother, among others, on the countdown. At 1 p.m. on In My Room Radio features tracks from Oren Ambarchi, Matt Mos, and Mary Lattimore, among others. And then at 3 p.m., tune in the Radio Art Hour. Featured artists this week, Holly Palumbo, The Shortwave Collective, and Momus. At 6 p.m., it's time for the Framework Show, with composers using field recordings in their work. Here are works from Illusion of Safety, Alexander Majdik, Anna Marie Romano, and others. At 8 p.m., it's time for the Driftless Turmoil Show, and at 10 p.m., it's time for the Tabs Out Cassette Show, featuring sounds this week from Cabo Boing, Cecilia Lopez, and Jeremiah Cyberman. On the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Round Top Productions in Round Top, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
Who is community radio for?
It's for people.
You mean it's for the people?
What's the difference between people and the people?
People you see on the street are people. You can see them. You can't see the people. There's too many to see.
You can't see anything on the radio anyway.
That's what's great about radio. There's nothing to see.
That means you can drive at the same time you listen to the radio.
Do you think it's safe to operate a motor vehicle while listening to WGXC?
Is it safe to use power tools while listening to WGXC?
90.7 FM. WGXC.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, I'm 11, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily, I'm from Hudson, and I'm an adult. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and we have two special guests today.
My name is Alden, I am from Portland, Oregon, and I'm reading a book called Sal and Gabby Break the Universe.
My name is Mila, I am from Portland, Oregon, and I'm reading a book called Invisible.
So we're going to talk about those books and some more today. We're often joined by our friends Amelia, Mashuda, Fatia, sometimes some other special guests. But we're really glad to have Alden and Mila here today. They're my niece and nephew. We're visiting this week, so that is fun. And we're all reading lots of books. Alden just finished his just in time for radio, like a champ. But yeah, we're excited to be on the radio today. Spread the book love.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Georgia wants to get us started today.
Happily, Emily. So I got this book from a library. And anyways, this is a really good book. It's called The Witches of Brooklyn, the first one. I haven't read the second yet. It's by Sophia Escabase. And it's a really good book. It's about this girl who moves to... So she was with her mom, and then her mom dies. So she moves in with her sort of crazy aunts, and they're really crazy, and they turn out to have magic. So I'll read the description. There's a new witch in town. Life in Brooklyn takes a strange turn when Effie discovers magic runs in the family. A middle-grade graphic novel adventure filled with magical hijinks for fans of Phoebe and her unicorn and making friends. Could there really be witches in Brooklyn? Effie's aunts are weird. Like, really weird. Really, really, really weird. The secretly magic kind of weird that makes Effie wonder, does this mean she can do magic too? Life in Brooklyn takes a strange twist for Effie as she learns more about her family and herself. With new friends who will do whatever they can to be there for her, a cursed pop star, and magically inclined aunts, Sophie's life is about to get interesting. That is The Witches of Brooklyn. By Sophia Escabas. Hey, I don't know.
What did you like most about it?
The story's really good. Usually graphic novels for me, like, it's the story and illustration balance, but, like, I just really especially loved the story on this one.
Do you know when the book takes place?
I think modern day, like, present day, I'd say.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. Why don't we hear from Mila? What book did you want to talk about?
I read a book called Invisible by Cristina Dias Gonzalez and Gabriela Epstein. So there's basically five different kids. There's one named George, one named Sarah, one named Diane, and one named Nico, and one named Miguel. Basically, they're in sixth grade, I think. They're in middle school, and the description says, and they're stuck together when they're forced to complete this school community source out. Also, they're sure they have nothing in common with one another. Some people see them all as the same, just five Spanish-speaking kids. Then they meet someone who truly needs their help, and they must decide when they are each willing to expose their own secrets to help, or if remaining invisible is the only way to survive middle school.
Hmm, that sounds really interesting.
The text is in English and in Spanish, and part of it's in color, and part of it's in black and white.
Oh, so that's because, so it's actually, the reason some of it's in color and some of it is in black and white is that this is a preview copy. So it'll eventually all be in color. But Mila's reading a preview copy that I picked up at a conference.
Ooh.
So let's see when this book is coming out. Does it have a date on it? August 2nd. So as of August 2nd, this book will be released and other people will be able to read it. So that's just around the corner.
Ooh, I'm excited. Thank you for sharing that.
That sounds really cool. I think that a lot of people will be able to relate to that, being kind of grouped into a like group, like being individual people that have unique qualities, but being grouped as like the Spanish speaking kids, and like how that's maybe at some times there's benefits to being sort of invisible and like not really seen for your full self, but that it's also good to be seen and recognized for your uniqueness. So you enjoyed the story?
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite character?
Not really.
Not really? They're all cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you think people would like it? Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So that's Invisible by Christina Diaz Gonzalez and Gabriella Epstein. So probably one of them is the author and one's the illustrator, would be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Did you want to share your story?
So the book I'm reading is called Sal and Gabby Break the Universe. It's by Carlos Hernandez. It's about this boy, Sal, and he is a new student at a school in Miami, and a lot of the students at his school are Cuban, so there's also some in Spanish and some in English, sort of like the book Mila talked about. And on the first day of school, he makes a raw chicken appear in someone's locker, and everybody's wondering how he did it, and the whole school thinks that he used like dark magic, and they're calling him a brujo, which means like kind of like a witch. So they're all accusing him, and he meets this girl, and she has a baby,
Gabby.
Gabby, and she has a baby brother that's in the hospital, and he's dying. So they're trying to help save his brother. And they're also trying to figure out how to use his powers, because whenever he makes a hole from another universe, because that's how he brought the chicken in, he brought it from another universe. So they're trying to figure out how to do that without exposing things called calamitrons, which are like particles that happen when you go from another universe. And they're trying to figure out how to control his powers and also save Gabby's little brother.
That's awesome. That sounds so cool. I want to read that.
I think it's in a series, too. I think it's like the first in a series.
I think there's only two, though.
Yeah.
Also, they're going to make it into a show on Disney Plus.
Oh, cool. Sounds fun. So this is part of the Rick Riordan Presents series, where they have stories that often have some kind of like mythical or like cultural connection from around the world. They all sound really good. But I've wanted to read that one for a long time.
So I think
I'll have to do that.
My favorite part of the book is like the personality of each character. And I also like the story and their like the plot, and I just enjoyed the book.
Since there's a sequel, does it have like a, does it feel like a solid novel, or does it have like a cliffhanger to, like setting you up for?
It definitely feels like a solid novel. I'm not even sure what they would make the second one about.
Let me look it up. Let's see what it's called. So, and Gabby. Oops, I wrote Gabu. So the next
Sal
one is
Gabu. Break the world.
Yeah, the second book is called Sal and Gabby Fix the Universe. So apparently they break the universe in the first one, and then they have to fix it. So maybe there's some like repercussions for what happens in this book.
Remember Sal and Gabu.
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 It's a good name, but not correct.
Indeed. Indeed.
Thanks for sharing your book. I'm going to share a poem today, since Fatia isn't here. Fatia is often our poem share, but one of my favorite poets, possibly my favorite poet, like if I had to name one favorite poet, I would name this poet. And she just got announced, inaugurated as the new U.S. Poet Laureate. Her name is Ada Limón, and I've read some of her poems on the radio before, but I don't know if I've read this one, at least not recently.
I thought the Poet Laureate was only done every new presidency.
No, I think it's generally every 2 years, but the last one had an extension because of the pandemic.
Oh.
Or at least that was my understanding, is that they gave her a longer term because of the pandemic, sort of, because they do a lot of visits and events as part of their role. And that got curtailed by the pandemic. So I'm going to read a poem by Ada Limón called How to Triumph Like a Girl. I like the lady horses best, how they make it all look easy, like running 40 miles per hour is as fun as taking a nap or grass. I like their lady horse swagger after winning. Ears up, girls, ears up. But mainly, let's be honest, I like that they're ladies, as if this big, dangerous animal is also a part of me, that somewhere inside the delicate skin of my body, there pumps an 8-pound female horse heart, giant with power, heavy with blood. Don't you want to believe it? Don't you want to lift my shirt and see the huge, beating, genius machine that thinks, no, it knows it's going to come in first? So that was a poem called How to Triumph Like a Girl. It's from her collection, Bright Dead Things. And you can also find it online.
I love on that poem.
Yes.
Also, my favorite... sorry about my cat. She would not be quiet.
That's okay. We also have a cat on the radio today for our listeners who can't see. I can also read the one that I've definitely read on the radio several times. So apologies for anyone that doesn't want to hear this poem again, but I love reading it every time I see it. So hopefully other people enjoy it too. And it is called Instructions on Not Giving Up. I read this like every spring, basically. But it's not spring, but it's still good. Okay, so it goes like this. More than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crabapple tree, more than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy colored blossoms to the slate, sky of spring rains, it's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. When all the shock of white and taffy, the world's baubles and trinkets, leave the pavement strewn with the confetti of aftermath, the leaves come. Patient plodding, a green skin growing over whatever winter did to us, a return to the strange idea of continuous living despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Fine then, I'll take it, the tree seems to say, a new slick leaf unfurling like a fist to an open palm. I'll take it all.
Such a good poem.
I'm not giving up. You all might have a poem you could share too. They've read some poems recently.
How about Mila just hers?
Okay, Mila can do hers. So I'm with my niece and nephew this week because we finally had a memorial service for my dad, their grandpa, or Poppy, as they called him, who passed away last fall. And they both shared a poem that my dad had written at the memorial. And Mila actually memorized hers. Would you want to say it?
Okay. Afternoon. He is gone, as all men go, though far too soon. I left with love once morning, this afternoon, but if the love he leaves behind becomes the currency of his soul, then he is the richest man from wealth that heaven knows.
It's just a really touching poem. Just so touching.
You literally got
me crying here.
Aw. Okay, I'm going to find the other one for Alden to read. It's a very good poem.
The Gathering. As meteors sweep, as stars and planets spin, above us as we sleep our healing dreams, or clock-like round our loved ones and our friends. The life-supplying sun descends in streams, in through the morning windows of their home, so down the turning centuries of man, so have the lights of heaven ever shone, on all our antecedents, kin and friends. Now gather we, the bearers of the spark, together to renew our bonds of love, and fill the vast indifference of the dark with light, and celebrate this meaning of this gift of life. These friends around us here, these human suns and stars and meteors.
That was so good. These poems are really amazing.
Yeah, he wrote some very nice poems. That last one that Alden shared, it was funny. There was one time we were having, I think it was like a Christmas dinner or something, and we had some friends over for the dinner long, long time ago before Mila and Alden were here. And our friend was like, oh, I have a poem I would like to share with you all. And he proceeded to share this poem, The Gathering, that my dad had written, not realizing that it was my dad's poem.
Oh, really?
It's just like he had at some point received this poem from my dad and then didn't have his name on it, so forgot that it was by him. And was like, I have this beautiful poem I want to share with you.
That was so funny.
I think my dad was very touched by the fact that he had wanted to share his poem. But thank you both for sharing this. And so before we go for the day, does anyone have anything that they're excited about reading or doing or seeing that they want to share?
Oh, I have some news.
What's that?
So Do you know the graphic novel White Bird?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by R.J. Palacio?
Yes. So they are going to release it into a movie.
Wow, cool.
So
I have a follow-up to Wonder.
It's supposed to be released September 16th, 2022, but was delayed to October 14th, 2022. Crossing fingers. That will keep happening then. And I am so excited because this is one of my very favorite graphic novels. And I figured this out because I was at the bookstore looking for some new graphic novels to buy. And I saw a sticker on the copy of White Bird they had that said, soon to be a major motion picture. And I asked the attendant, I asked the woman working there, is this going to be a movie? And she said, yes. And I was so excited. And I said, yay. So I am very excited. And for those other White Bird fans, just hang in there. It's coming out October 14th, 2022, as long as it stays on schedule.
Very cool. So how about you two? Is there anything that's coming up? Or what? Like, you just finished your book. Do you know what you're going to read next?
I'm not sure. Probably something you recommend.
Okay, got to get to work with some recommendations. How about you, Mila?
I'm going to read a book called something. The one that you gave me about Snow Spy. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, yeah, I think it is called Snow Spy.
It's something Snow Spy.
Yeah, that sounded good. Cool. That's another preview copy that I picked up.
You picked a lot of preview
copies. I picked up a lot of preview copies. I have a couple of those that I'm excited to read that weren't in the group that I gave them because they were for more for teens. But I got two preview copies, although I think one of them, the book is out now. So I don't really need a preview copy, but a Casing Calendar, who's one of my favorite authors. So I'm excited. What's that?
Like middle grade and teen
comics. Yep, I can pass them along to you.
Yeah. If you want a second opinion, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. I'll definitely get some of
those.
Come
back to Hudson soon. So, cool. Just looking for an excuse. So, if you need a second pair of eyes.
Okay. Yep. Elizabeth's ready to read too. Elizabeth the cat. She's very excited about these preview copies.
No. Be quiet.
But, yeah. So, I'm excited to read some of those.
My cat won't stop.
She wants to be on the radio. She's never had the opportunity.
Okay, Elizabeth. You're on the radio. Yay. Okay.
No, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, what's your favorite book?
What's your favorite book, Elizabeth? Trash Poem?
She's not willing to share. She, like most cats, she wants to share when she wants to share. Can't hurt cats. Sometimes you can hear cats, though.
True.
Since we don't always have our special guests on the radio, I'm going to ask them a question that I guess you could answer too, because they'd probably like to know what you have to say. What is one of your favorite books ever?
My favorite book ever is the first Hunger Games book.
Okay. Why do you like it so much?
I just like the plot.
Cool. How about you, Mila? What's your favorite book or one of your favorite books?
One book that I really like is...
Can you describe it? Is it one you read with Nana?
I really liked a book, but I forgot the name. It's like about two kids and they're like staying at a museum.
From the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler? Yeah. That was a great book.
Yeah. It's so funny.
I read part of that with Nana.
I read a book about a girl whose favorite book was the Mixed Up Files of
Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler. Mm-hmm. Is that the one that you read where she has her own like library in her locker?
Yes, that one.
Yeah.
Her favorite book is that.
That's cool. How about you, Georgia? What's your favorite book?
It's Wishing Upon the Same Stars, and it's a really good novel. It's like a middle grade young adult. Yeah, I've shared it before. It's about one Palestinian and Lebanese girl. Her parent, one parent is Palestinian, one is Lebanese, and then another girl who is, her parents are Israeli. And so the one who is Israeli already lives there, and then the other girl, she just moved from Michigan to Texas. And the girls end up being neighbors and becoming best friends. But there's an Israeli and Palestinian conflict. So as it's going on, they and their parents get into fights. It's a really good book.
I don't know what my favorite book is. This is the kind of question I ask other people and expect them to answer. And then I'm like, I don't know.
You read too many books.
I read too many books. But I also read like books for all ages. So that makes it harder. But let me think. What are some of my favorite books? Well, one book I love that I talked about on the radio recently that I read part of it with Mila was Tale of Despero by Kate DiCamillo. That's a really good book. I had read it a long time ago, and then I reread it when Mila and my mom were reading it, and it's very good, very fun. That's definitely a highlight.
Can I tell another one of my favorite books? I've read about a million times is, I forgot what's the name.
Can you describe it?
Never mind.
But you read it about a million times.
Yeah, I read it about a million times.
What is it about?
A bunny and a bear, and the bear is very lazy, and the rabbit is...
Oh, yeah. I know the book you're talking about, but I don't know what it's called. I've never read it.
Is it a picture book or a chapter book?
Yes, it's a picture book.
Picture book.
And, like, they, like, share, or they're neighbors or something.
Hmm.
And, like, the rabbit's being all productive and the bear is just, like, sleeping.
Like, hibernating, sleeping?
No.
No?
Well, he's just, like, sitting in his little bear house.
Huh.
I don't remember what it's called. And I have never read it. I've just seen her reading it a million times.
Well, I have some ideas, but I'd have to look it up to make sure. So that bunny bear book, very good.
If you can find out what it's called.
Active Bunny, Lazy Bear. That's the title.
It's not called
bear. I know, I'm just teasing.
And also, it's very old and it's falling off. It's called Tops and Bottoms.
Tops and Bottoms?
Yeah.
Tops and Bottoms. Cool. That's another good book suggestion.
Good.
I really like a picture book called Bernice Gets Carried Away. Illustrations are amazing in it. There's a cat that's just having a rough day, is at a birthday party and like doesn't get the good piece of cake, like doesn't get the good candies from the pinata, like they run out of the good tasting soda, like they're just having like a rough day, and it's like this cat that has this like super moody face. It's really cute and expressive. And then at some point it's like, okay, fine. I'm going to get all the balloons then. And so it grabs all the balloons and it starts floating away. And as it floats up, it sees all of these other creatures in the tree as it's going up into the sky that are also having a rough day. And to totally spoil the book, it decides to start giving balloons to the other creatures that are not having a great day. And that cheers all of them up and also cheers up Bernice.
Except doesn't he like get rid of the balloons? Well, how does he go back down?
One at a time, starts going down.
But where does he put the balloons?
Gives it to the creatures. So he starts off with the cloud.
Well, but if he has like a ton of balloons, he's probably pretty high up in the sky.
This is a children's book. Use your imagination. The cat is also wearing a dress. but that's one of my favorite picture books. I suggest that one a lot.
You could rock a dress, me, Elizabeth. Could rock it, couldn't you?
All right. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but we want to thank Alden and Mila for joining us and Elizabeth the cat for joining us on the radio today. We hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. In the meantime,
happy reading.
Bye.